Why is it that so much of Netflix content for children promotes a transgender ideology? Almost half of your content for I'm talking about minor children now. I'm not talking about teenagers. Minor children. Just 2 days ago, a jury in New York awarded a former transitioner $2 million because she said that her psychologists and others pressured her into, they pushed on her an ideology that proved to be extremely detrimental. In the UK, the National Health Service in the UK has said that they're not going to perform transgender surgeries or any longer so-called gender-affirming care for minors, including in counseling, because it is so incredibly detrimental. Our own HHS has come forward with similar findings this past year, yet if you turn on Netflix, you'll find that an enormous amount, and I say this as a parent with three young children, an enormous amount of your children's programming has this ideology and agenda in it. Is this an advocacy position for Netflix? Is this an ideological commitment you have? I mean, why is this?
Senator Ali, Netflix has no political agenda of any kind.
As you would see, if you looked at her and not her chart, Bailey is not a boy. And by treating her like one, you are completely ignoring who she is. You're making her feel insignificant and humiliated. And that's not going to help her feel good or safe or calm. So, from here on out, please recognize her for who she is. And if at all possible, could you find me a non-blue hospital gown?
Netflix's predatory gobbling up of Warner Brothers and an $82 billion merger designed to forge an unstoppable woke propaganda behemoth. Everything from Netflix's parade of gender-fluid fairy tales and climate hysteria.
There's just not as many bugs and animals in the park anymore because of climate change. And now the whole Earth's climate is changing because of things humans do, like making tons of emissions.
Yeah, it's making the whole Earth hotter than usual.
To Warner's legacy franchises twisting into vehicles for DEI indoctrination, to be put all under one roof to pump out endless narratives that erode family values. And the boomer wokesters aren't even aware of the lion's den they are entering.
So forgive me if I'm a little concerned, not only as a parent, but also that somebody believes that we ought to have a wide variety of content options. There are some, but the overwhelming majority of your stuff right now is overwhelmingly woke. And it's not reflective of what the American people want to see.
So respectfully, if you ask a Netflix member today, or a consumer today generally, how they view Netflix, I think that but a proof point that we might be doing the right thing is they talk about Netflix in the exact same terms as they talk about the country. About 40% conservative, about 40% liberal, and about 20% don't know.
Did you catch that? Netflix co-CEO Ted Sarandos thinks that the country is 40% conservative and 40% liberal and 20% just don't know. Well, the emerging Generation X population just surpassed boomers by 1 million.
Boomers respond with anger. Millennials respond with anxiety. And him?
Couldn't care less.
And according to a recent Gallup poll, a record high 45% of U.S. adults identified as political independents in 2025. Surpassing the 43% measured in 2014, 2023, and 2024. Meanwhile, equal shares of U.S. adults identified as either Democrats or Republicans. Snap out of it. The psychological warfare isn't going to work anymore. A digital leviathan controlled by elite overlords in Silicon Valley and Hollywood is going to go down like the Hindenburg. Ted Sarandos has no clue what the American people actually want.
There are plenty of things an aftermarket vagina can do that a stock vagina cannot. Like destroy the fabric of Western civilization as we know it. Only my does that. Only mine. Only my can murder the little baby Jesus before he even has a chance to start an apocalyptic death cult and ruin the world.
It was this very programming that ultimately woke up the sleeping giant. John Bowne reporting for InfoWars.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Friday, everyone. Jumping on today with a lot going on in the world. A lot of incredible people will be joining the show today, so buckle up. Buckle up. It's a good one. Folks, we've got our eyes all over the place right now. Specifically, we're calling out the rhinos during today's show, and I look forward to that. We also have some good Maha news, and I love to have good Maha news. And we're going to do a continuation of a story that we told you about yesterday. Michael Hugue is going to be joining the program. Mike was the individual that Sonia Lobosco was talking about yesterday in regards to him trying his best to fight for his life. And he was able to do so by trying out experimental drugs. He had a brain tumor, a massive brain tumor. And it was described as terminal, the cancer that he was facing. But he has since surpassed even the experts' expectations. He's going to join us today to talk about specifically the clinical trials that are needed, obviously, but most importantly on how Americans can stand up for their own medical freedom, why it's so important for, let's say you have a terminal illness and you want to try an experimental drug, to be able to have access to that. So we look forward to having him on the show to discuss just that. We'll also have Robert Newcomb on the program as well, discussing drones. There's drones going up in Michigan. It's obviously a privacy issue. They're going to be surveilling the area. It just so happens, of course, to be in a highly dense Islamic community. We'll talk about that with him. Also, Dan Lyman on the program as well. Dan's been working on a bunch of stories over at Infowars.com, so he's got a lot to talk about in regards to that. Mel Kay also jumping on the show as well. WEF is still on my mind. I don't know about you guys, but there's a lot of people who came back, specifically, though, American politicians who came back after visiting those in Davos. And they're doing everything possible to stand up for the globalist agenda rather than what their voters voted them in for. So Mel Kay will be joining us for that. We'll also be doing a bit of a last-minute add-on in today's show. I'll break that down for you once everything becomes finalized. But there's a lot going on over here. A lot going on over here. As many of you guys know, I'm going to start off with clip three because, you know, I've been very, very critical in regards to how the president has handled the Epstein files. He hasn't done a good job, and that's putting it nicely. In clip three, we're going to hear from a victim who, and it's really upsetting, but she's being critical of the administration because of how they released the files. A lot of victim information was put out there. But again, I told you this, we haven't seen anything bombshell. We haven't seen any of these elitists get looped into the Epstein files. Now she is calling it out properly. Take a listen to clip three.
Country wants to move on from the Epstein files. Is that how you feel?
Well, first, let me say, Caitlin, thank you so much for having me back. And I know I don't just speak for myself when I say I really appreciate how persistent you were in questioning this administration about their failure with this release. I don't think it's something to smile about, and I thought you handled it very appropriately. I'm not surprised that Trump is ready to move on and that this DOJ is ready to move on, but we are certainly not, especially after we saw how poorly this last release of documents was handled.
And what is it that you do want? You know, people see this release. There was information that a lot of people felt should have been redacted that wasn't, or information that shouldn't have been, including that of victims and survivors that was. What was it that you've heard and that you saw?
I saw three primary issues with the way that where we are right now with this release. One was there were, for people that aren't looking through these documents themselves, I think it's hard to understand the quantity of documents that included personal identifying information about survivors. A list of names that was literally called the Epstein victim list that had something like, 40 or 50 names, primarily of minor victims, completely unredacted except for one name, right? And then, as we know from the New York Times reporting, nude images of girls and young women that were released by our government, that's really them distributing child sexual abuse materials, right? Like, these are horrific things that happened during this release. And so that is a huge issue. But then we also saw documents that were, victim statements completely blacked out, three pages of black ink, and then a small portion that wasn't, saying something like, this is why I'm so scared of these powerful men that harmed me. So obviously, people in positions of power continuing to be protected, the exact thing that the law was supposed to outline was not supposed to happen. And then third, we know that there is other pertinent information that has still not been released. Of course, people are continuing to sort through files. There is a lot. But, for example, my sister Maria Farmer, in the first release, we saw part of her 1996 report to the FBI where she outlined the theft of photos that she had taken for her art. But she also described her own assault at Les Wexner's property, and she described my assault at Zora Ranch. And I don't believe there's any way that those were not documented as well, and we're still not seeing that. Is it because it included other names of powerful people? We don't know. But when they say, we've released everything that's, pertinent to this investigation, we're not buying it.
Yeah. When people said they wanted to see the Epstein list, they weren't talking about a list of underage girls that he assaulted. They're talking about the powerful people in his orbit and accountability for that.
Okay, all on board for this, right? I'm all on board for the accountability. I'm all on board figuring out who exactly was the individuals, the A-list celebrities, the globalists, the politicians, the pigs, the animals that were raping children. It's really frustrating, though, hearing CNN talking about it, though, as if they were ever calling on this to be released during the Biden regime years. Of course they weren't. So they are politicizing off it. But this administration allowed him to do just that. He made, and I'm talking about President Trump, a commitment to releasing the files. And it's been an absolute mess. You didn't need the legislation to be pushed through to get the administration to release those files. If they would have given us a deadline, whether it took them a year or 2 years, and just told us that they were going to be giving us information, but they have to sift through everything, that would have been fair. But they were forced through legislation to do just that. Now they've pushed out information, which I think is intentional, which is meant to give the argument that, well, we have to protect the victims here. And so now we're just going to pull back a bunch of documents and not release everything. To me, in my opinion, it seems like they are intentionally trying to put victims out there. So they could say, all right, we need to start pulling this back. We can't put out everything. We have to be more thorough. Everything that's gone on with the Epstein files has been an absolute mess. They've handled it completely inappropriately. And it's okay to say that out loud. It's okay. But again, CNN wasn't calling it out during the Biden regime years, so spare me, Caitlin. All of a sudden now she's a fighter for sexual victims' rights. It doesn't even make any sense. These people are intentionally using it, and unfortunately the White House has just allowed that to happen. Why? Because they're not being transparent like they told you they were going to be. Let's shift gears a little bit. I want to talk immigration. Let's call it the rhinos this time around. I'm so frustrated with these people because what they've done now is they've obviously successfully have pushed forward this new kind of immigration that we're going to be apparently enforcing. Right? We're not going to enforce all the laws. We're going to nitpick a little bit. The president saying that we're only going after those violent criminal aliens, even though the American people voted for all illegal aliens to be deported. Because obviously the PR nightmare that's happening for them. We always knew it was going to happen, by the way. Like, as soon as we... Election night took place. I knew this was going to happen. They find the one image of the crying boy getting put into a car after his parents abandoned him, allegedly. And they push that out. And it's a PR nightmare for the administration. And so now everyone is following along. They're all getting in line. We knew this was going to happen from day one. This wasn't a surprise. So now we have rhinos. We have a couple of rhinos, actually. I'm going to be calling them out throughout the show. But we have specific rhinos who are going out there, and they're now advocating for certain illegal aliens to stay in this country. Maria Salzer is an individual who's from Florida. Now, she says she's a Republican, but I've been following her for quite some time now. She's not a Republican. I grilled her office a couple of years back when she decided to go to the World Economic Forum. She was president in Davos, and she saw nothing wrong with it. Her team, in fact, ignored me when I was repeatedly asking questions. She doesn't push back on the WEF agenda. She instead gets in line with it. Yesterday, she was speaking, and this was caught a lot of attention. In clip one, she was speaking, and she's specifically outlining those illegal aliens that she deems shouldn't be deported from this country. Take a listen.
But don't touch the nannies or the gardeners or the ones who are picking up the jalapeno peppers or the oranges or the berries or the ones in the dairy houses. Come on. Those people are helping us eat better, cheaper homes, cheaper vegetables, and better fruits. So those are the ones that we are trying to give a dignified status.
Those. That's slave labor. I mean, that's what she's trying not to talk about, but that's what she's talking about there. You could find American citizens who would do those jobs if you pay them a fair wage. They would do it. To sit here and to pretend like we need illegal aliens because these jobs are undesirable is absurd. See, this is it's the same problem with H-1B visas. Corporations, farms, they're able to go after the most vulnerable population, people who don't live here, don't have citizenship here, and they get to abuse them. Make them work extensive hours, not pay them a livable wage. And they do it because, well, they're desperate, these people. I don't think they should be in the country at all. Maria Salzer is talking for the globalists. She's not talking for the American people. She wants us to be infiltrated. This is not a Republican stance. It shouldn't be a Republican stance, I should say. But it is at this point. These rhino Republicans are trying their very best now to advocate for these illegal aliens. And it's working. I mean, President Trump has just said that they're not going to be rounding them all up. He's only going to go after the worst of the worst. And it's not just the Florida congresswoman. Sadly, there's also a Republican governor in Ohio, Mark DeWine. I can't even speak today. Happy Friday, everyone. He's out here, and he's also trying to talk about how President Trump shouldn't just end that protective status that was given out by the Biden regime to Haitians. Because apparently, Haitians, well, they play a big role in Ohio's economy. It's a real head scratcher. Take a listen to clip two.
Big consensus for that. I think where, you know, we start losing people is when we're looking at people who are working hard every day. The Haitians in Springfield are one example of that. Under temporary protected status, they're here legally, and they're working. And what the employers have told me time and time again is we hired Haitians year, two, 3 years ago, frankly, because we couldn't fill these jobs. And Springfield is actually, put my governor's hat on now, from the point of view of economic development, Springfield has been moving forward. Springfield is coming back. Part of the reason they've been able to come back is because of these Haitians who are there. They're not only working, but of course they're spending money in the community. There's been businesses started, restaurants have started. And if we lose all those, if they lose temporary protected status, then they no longer can work and the companies can't employ them. That's a blow to the economy. That's a blow to the state. I mean, if you look at Ohio's growth, just one more statistic. If you look at Ohio's growth in the last few years, over half that growth has come from immigrants who are here and they're working and they're helping the economy grow and helping us.
And these are arguments that you have.
Yeah, that's not a good one. Folks, when you have a Republican out there advocating for illegal aliens who were literally put on planes, by the way, and brought into this country by the Biden regime, that's what these protective status Haitians were brought in on here on. When you have them coming here and you're saying it's a blow to your economy, if we get rid of these people, are you kidding me? Maybe that's the problem here. How are they working? Who's employing these people? They don't belong in this country. The Biden regime put these Haitians on flights and flew them directly into our country. Flew them directly here. They were put in Ohio and other places to change the demographics. And Republican governors, are too dumb to realize what's going on here. And they're not contributing to your economy. When we see the statistics when it comes to how many of these Haitians are on welfare, the majority of them are on welfare when they come into our country. So cut the crap. You're lying to the American people. You're doing this because it's slave labor. Your big donors are probably loving this because they're able to pay these people a non-existent wage. They were flown. This is slavery, people. They were flown into this country under the Biden administration through this protective status. And they were particularly put in areas which are normally historically white areas to completely shift over the demographics. Springfield, Ohio was never a sanctuary for Haitians. I've done stories in Ohio, was recently there, maybe it was last year. And you can't even pick up an Uber driver without there being a Mohammed who's coming to pick you up. You can't even enjoy Ohio the way you used to be able to enjoy Ohio. It's been completely transformed. And there's a reason. And Republican governors like that, who'd rather just be non-controversial, telling you, which is actually really bad. Imagine if your economy relied, this is what he's alleging, of course. Imagine if your economy relied on Haitians to keep it afloat. Now, don't get me wrong. I know plenty of good Haitian doctors who have moved to this country. You know, I come from New York. I come from an area, but they assimilated. That's the difference. They were brought in small groups and they assimilated. They went to our medical schools. They contribute. We're not talking about people, adults who can't even read on the fifth grade reading level being brought into our country. Springfield, Ohio was notorious for the allegations that these Haitians that were being brought in were hunting down cats. Were hunting down little animals, slaughtering them and eating them. Because in their culture, that was completely normal. I mean, this video itself is absolutely vile. I don't even know if this was actually a Haitian woman. I think this might have been someone mentally ill. But we saw the stories. We saw tons of stories in regards to all of this. And now we have the governor of Ohio who claims to be Republican telling you, no, we need these illegal invaders. Again, folks, this is slavery. This is slavery. And this is the problem here. There's been ton of reports, tons of allegations in regards to the people that were brought into this country. And the majority of them are, in fact, on welfare. They are on welfare. Welfare services were never meant to feed the rest of the world. They were meant to be helping American families. That was it. It was a crutch, never meant to be long-term. It was a crutch to help families out. And since it's been expanded to people who should be working but aren't working because they don't want to work, those kind of Americans, that it's been extended over to illegal aliens as well. I mean, folks, this was all a part of the plan. Let me remind you, the Biden administration was actually flying these people. It makes me so angry. They were actually flying these people on planes into our country and bringing them to areas to change the demographics. And here we have a Republican governor, Mark DeWine, out here saying, oh, we need them. Please don't deport the Haitians. We need them. We don't need Haitians. Haitians didn't build this great country. They can't even fix their own country. And it's not to be a total diss on Haitian people. We have great Haitian Americans. I know them personally. But folks, these are people who have gone to our education school, like our system, our educational system. They've gone to all of these places. These are people who are contributing to our society. These aren't people who are brought in from Haiti who cannot read, cannot speak English, cannot assimilate. Those people are eating bushmeat, and we brought them into our country. They need to go. They all need to go. And any Republican that's against that is an absolute coward. I don't care if it's controversial to stand up and say, no, we actually don't want people from third world countries in our country. Folks, if we import them all, because they don't ever have like a quota, right? They're not like, okay, let's take it a couple, 1,000. It's never an actual quota. They're trying to change the demographics in this country drastically. These are people that hate us. People that hate us. And speaking of people that hate us, there was just actually an Obama-appointed federal judge who took it upon herself to block ICE from being able to utilize the IRS and their database to identify illegal aliens. Now, the interesting part here is there was just a court ruling that said, okay, the IRS can actually use, DHS can actually use the IRS's system to identify illegals. And again, it's another federal judge stepping in now and overriding that and saying, no, you can't. And they're temporarily blocking it, saying that they possibly believe that this could be a violation of these taxpayers' privacy rights. She's currently blocking the IRS from sharing that data until the court can review the court case itself. So no surprise there, folks. No surprise there. It's so frustrating. These judges, these courts, it's a never-ending battle. It's a never-ending battle. Why do we even have elections if we're just going to allow these judges to do whatever they want? Folks, I want to get to another story in regards to Russ Vogt. Russ Vogt was actually almost murdered. A 26-year-old man who apparently lives in Maryland, Colin DeMarco, is now under arrest. He's suspected for arriving at Russ Vogt's home. As many of you guys know, Russ Vogt runs OMB. That's the budget division over at the White House. He's a great person. Apparently, they're accusing Colin of showing up to Russ Vogt's home wearing a surgical mask, gloves, and carrying a backpack. He was apparently this is according to reports, motivated by this fascist takeover under President Trump following the 2024 election. DeMarco, who admitted to agents he went to confront Vogt over his role in Project 2025, denied intent to harm him, though. Now, there's obviously mental health issues here with this individual. He's now facing serious charges, including attempted murder. And others, he also was apparently carrying a weapon as well. So he has since been arrested. He was arrested back last month. He's being held without bail. And his next scheduled court appearance is February 23rd, 2026. Again, this is the left for you guys. We keep talking about this. This is the left for you. They're a conglomerate of just radical terrorists, the mentally ill. And this is why Democrats continuously use very key words when trying to get them to out there to do something. You know, it's what they continue to do. The fact that this guy is still using that exact quote, fascist takeover, and those on the left continue to call President Trump a fascist, tells you everything you need to know about the left. They know what they're doing. They know that their mentally ill followers will go out there and do their dirty work for them. So thank God Russ Vogt's okay. He's a great man, great patriot. I've had the pleasure of meeting Russ. We've had him on my podcast before as well. Good person, very good person. Just absolutely disgusting. This is what they're up against. This is why people don't work for the government. They don't want to work in this administration. Good people don't want to work in the government. This is why DC is so swampy. Because of crap like this. Hopefully this individual gets a very stiff sentence. And by stiff sentence, I mean never gets let out of prison. But you never know. You never know. If a Democrat ever gets into the White House, they'll probably pardon him. Folks, I want to remind you to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because right now we just launched those new electrolyte drink packs. You got to head on over right now. It's Optimal Human Hydration. It's a electrolyte drink mix with French sea salt. We have two incredible flavors that we just launched, strawberry lemonade, as well as lemon lime. Strawberry lemonade is my fave. You got to head over right now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. If you're someone looking to increase, you know, your function throughout the day, maybe decrease your brain fog, this is where you want in your schedule. Have it.
I have told the folks at Bigley, I said, I want to have the widest selection of combat daggers, trench knives, folding knives, you name it, that are high quality brands that you buy in bulk that are very competitively priced, and then support the broadcast because I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives that I went out and told them what brands I liked, what was going on, and they were able to get it. And so a bunch of the knives that sold out a few months ago, they're back in. And then these bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. This is a great knife. This knife sells in stores for $75 all day long. We're selling it for 40-something and even bigger discounts, up to 50% off right now. Some of these knives are as low as $20 a piece. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. Go there now. We've got also the Murdered Out Black, and I love how it's that Kydex, and it's got that real fine engraving on it, so it gives you that great feeling, that great, because I got sent hundreds of knives from dozens of companies, and I'm the one that chose all these, and these are from really good companies, really good quality, and it's just a great deal. And so do your knife shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. But let me tell you what's back in stock. We have the new ones, Alex Jones Blackout Folding Knife, 7.65 assisted opening folding knife, 3.5 high carbon Damascus blade, 1095 plus 515 N20. This is all quality. D2 steel, black PVD coating, and stonewash finish, 3.3 millimeter black thickness, black G10 handle for a secure grip, 15.5 millimeter handle thickness for confident hand feel, ball bearing pivot system for smooth deployment. I mean, it's a nice quality knife. All black, blackout finished. I call it Murdered Out. Fast, decisive, assisting, operating, limited production, live before it sells out. And then we've got the same knife, but it's silver blade folding knife. If you like that, it's got a nice little hook on the end, so you can tie it to things. The forest green folding knife that is my close second, really a sexy knife. Same as the other one, it's just got that forest green. Call it forest, it's kind of like an in-between forest and olive, but nice. Kind of Border Patrol. I call it Border Patrol Green. Let's change the name, Border Patrol Green. That's actually what it is. This bad boy. These all sold out, but they always hold back a few hundred in case orders come in later or whatever. So tip of the spear, Spartan, trench knife with brass knuckles, Murdered Out, and the Skull Crusher. A few hundred of those. They held back a few of these. It had sold out, but there's about 200 left. The Vlice Fire with this beauty limited edition. That funds the operation as well. It's a little different. Skull Crusher isn't as big. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. This has been sold out. They only got 500 of these the first run. Sold out in one day. It is back. They got 1,000 of them. And it's just a great knife. Really sleek and really strong. Very well made. And you've got it in orange. Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. I like that. Now we've got the Alex Jones Ring Blade. This sold out the quickest last time. That's an amazing product. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue and take advantage of the very best supplements in the world. We'll be right back. Thanks for funding the Second American Revolution worldwide.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. We've got our eyes right now over at the DOJ. Cash Patel, the FBI director, and Pam Bondi are making an announcement very, very soon. We don't know what it is. Maybe it's an arrest. Maybe. I'm doing it wrong. Maybe. One can only hope. Or maybe it's just going to be like another, look what we did. Something that was started under local law enforcement that they're going to take credit for. Who knows? Who knows? But we will bring it to you once it begins, because you never know what's going to happen. I'll be hopeful. I'll be optimistic. I think it's a rest. Maybe they got Hillary Clinton. All right. Not going to tell you that dream, but folks, we'll keep our eye on that. It's going to start in like 10 minutes is what it's scheduled for. So we'll bring it to you once it begins, of course. But we've got a lot more to discuss. So buckle up. Buckle up. I want to talk a little bit about MAHA. As many of you guys saw yesterday, President Donald Trump announced the launching of TrumpRx.gov. TrumpRx.gov. Now, apparently, this is going to be a new platform utilized for those who are looking to get affordable prescription drugs, which obviously so many Americans do need access to. So we're all on board with that. I did check, though. We'll let the president talk about it. But I did check. There's no ivermectin available, which had me a little ticked off. But the president made the announcement yesterday in clip 10 regarding all of this. Take a listen.
We're here this evening to celebrate the launch of one of the most transformative healthcare initiatives of all time. There's never been anything like it. Starting tonight, dozens of the most commonly used prescription drugs will be available at dramatic discounts for all consumers throughout a new website. It's called TrumpRx.gov. That's TrumpRx.gov. For years, politicians from both parties have promised to bring down prescription drug prices and make healthcare more affordable, but they all failed. It was all words as usual. They failed and they failed badly. They tried doing this, some of them, most of them didn't even try because they never really had a shot at it. But I'm actually getting it done, and it is done, actually. This launch represents the largest reduction in prescription drug prices in history by many, many times. And it's not even close. You're going to see numbers that you're not going to believe.
All right. Obviously, that's good news. The American people want to hear, of course, that there's going to be affordable ways to obtain medication that you and I both need. Of course, that's good. But again, no ivermectin. I mean, ivermectin should be easily accessible. It should be affordable. It was affordable until they realized that it has multiple uses, and then they started racking up those prices. Going to say that. I remember being extremely cheap. In fact, we use it in third world countries quite often because it was cheap and it was affordable. And for some reason, it's gone up drastically over these last few years, probably due to the fact that the thing they told you it doesn't actually do, it actually does. And they're trying to bank out on that one. But it's not just President Trump getting on board with the MAHA movement, of course, and pushing forward and all of that. I got some really good news yesterday over in Florida. Florida's leading the way. They really are. Governor Ron DeSantis and his wife, Casey DeSantis, yesterday did a little bit of a press conference in regards to bread, because they decided to do a study to see what kind of chemicals are in the bread that you guys get at the supermarket. And I've always known to stay away from it because it's quite obvious that there's a lot wrong with it. But so many Americans, obviously, if you're busy, you have a very busy schedule, you need to get something quick, do rely on quick food sources just like that. But you'd be surprised, and I was actually quite surprised, that something called glyphosate, as many of you guys know, that's Roundup, is in a lot of these breads. And Casey DeSantis detailed all of that for us in clip 11. Take a listen.
One finding for them really kind of jumped off at the page, and that was the levels of glyphosate. Glyphosate is a weed killer. It's the main ingredient that you find in Roundup and other weed-killing brands. It's designed to kill plants. It is not meant to be eaten. The labels on glyphosate-based pesticides clearly warn that the chemicals are harmful and must be kept out of reach of children. In fact, they include emergency instructions for accidental exposure and make clear these products are not meant for people to touch, not meant for to be into the food, and certainly not meant to be consumed.
Isn't that crazy that we have to even argue this? Why do we allow this to go into our foods? I mean, you look at the breakdown, we actually have the photo of the study that they conducted. The numbers are crazy. And Dave's Killer Bread, I have to say, I've actually purchased that a few times. We have the graphic. Dave's Killer Bread is on the list. And it's interesting because that's one of actually the brands that I used to use. How horrifying is this that we allow all of this to be pushed into our food sources? And we're just supposed to be okay with this. I mean, Wonder Bread is also off the charts. Sarah Lee, I know a lot of people purchase that brand as well. That one, very, very high up on the list. Again, folks, Nature's Own as well. Again, folks, this is a massive, massive issue. I didn't even realize it was this bad. This bad. We need a massive overhaul of our food industry right now. The fact that they have done this to people and we have no idea is pretty insane. I mean, how are you even, this is what's causing cancers. Obviously the vaccines as well, but this is, you know, they sit there and say, we don't understand why there's a large demographic of young people all of a sudden getting cancer at a very young age, turbo cancers, everything. This is the reason why. I mean, they're intentionally poisoning the American people and everyone's just sitting here and allowing it to happen. At what point? And thankfully, the Florida governor has made this a top priority. But guys, I mean, at what point do we say enough is enough? Enough is enough. And we put an end to all of this. It's enraging that we've allowed it to get to this point, but this is what's going on right now in the country. We are all being poisoned. You got to go back to the basics. I mean, even meat, I get it. It's really frustrating too, because to find the source of a lot of the meat products that you're buying, yes, buy local. But folks, I'm not going to sit here and tell people who are struggling to get by to make that a top priority. It's not realistic for so many of my farms. I know when I go to the farmers markets, the price for meat is usually significantly higher than it is in the supermarket. So I understand why people can't buy local. I'm not going to put that pressure on people. But the reality of it is, you know, I see Peter Navarro calling it out. Our meats, our beef products are coming from foreign countries, specifically Brazil. Right, we have a high standard for our own American farmers, but for outside farms or farmers that are shipping product in, we don't have those same sets of standards. And so we just allow them to send us whatever. And that's the reason why they're able to send us cheaper products. It's intentionally screwing over American farmers. Now, the antitrust division is investigating the beef products itself to figure out what's going on here. There's four major companies that control the beef prices. And so for American farmers, it's not ideal. And obviously, the administration is aware of that, and they are trying to look into that. Gail Slater, who's running that investigation right now over the antitrust division, I have faith in her to be able to get to the bottom of that. But the reality of it is beef prices are through the roof. They're not coming down anytime soon. Price, it keeps going up. I mean, this one specific brand that I've been purchasing for quite some time now of just lean ground beef, it's like 1% fat, very, very lean. It used to be like $9.99 for 2 pounds. And now I'm paying $15.50 usually. So it's insane that it's gotten this bad, but it's there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. Let's shift gears a little bit. I could ramble about MAHA and all the toxins in our food supply. We're also going to have Tracy Beans on the show next week. She's doing an incredible report in regards to the beef. They've been testing beef and trying to figure out what's actually in the beef that we consume here in the United States. And so she's going to give us a breakdown of that next week. And I look forward to having her on the program, of course. I want to switch gears up a little bit, though. Clip 4 we're going to get to next, because it was actually, gave me a good little chuckle. Democrat Senator Chris Van Hollen, he's an individual who obviously, he's been decent on some things. I'll give him that. But he tried to bait yesterday the Treasury Secretary into condemning what happened to Alex Pretty. Now, as many of you guys know, Alex Pretty was shot. He was carrying a firearm. There was a lot of confusion, it looks like. DHS agents were still waiting for the investigation to detail everything, but it looks like DHS agents did obviously fatally shoot him, but we're still trying to sift through the information. DHS did originally put out some information that looks like it could possibly be factually incorrect, so I'll hold there. But he's trying to get him to condemn what happened to Alex Pretty. And Alex Pretty, we've seen the videos of him days prior to all of that. Kicking in ICE vehicles, being violent. This isn't someone, again, who was peaceful during his protests. Now, again, we still don't see the full video of what led up to that interaction with law enforcement. But they tried to get the Treasury Secretary to condemn what happened to Alex Pretty. In fact, well, Bessette had something else on his mind, and it's not going to go over too well with those on the left. Take a listen to clip 4.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No more. Ms. Secretary, I think you would agree that the credibility of the Secretary of the Treasury is important, and I want to give you a chance to retract a statement that you made on national TV. Alex Pretty was shot 10 times and killed by federal agents in Minneapolis. Some in the administration called him a, quote, domestic terrorist. You suggested that Alex Pretty was culpable in his own killing because he had a gun in his waistband holster, which he was licensed to carry. When asked, you said, quote, I'm sorry this gentleman is dead, but, and you went on to say he had a weapon, suggesting that he was culpable in his own killing. So, Mr. Secretary, today, would you like to retract that statement?
I would not. And would you like to express remorse over the death of Ashley Babbitt here in the Capitol?
Oh, I have expressed remorse over that. So I've done that, Mr. And Secretary. I have other questions, but I actually would have expected you to take this opportunity to rephrase your response to that question. So you think the fact that he legally had a gun justified his killing?
I didn't say that at all.
You said, do you think he was culpable, partly to blame in his own killing because he had a gun?
Did not say that.
I'm asking you a question now. Do you believe he was in any way culpable for his own killing because he legally carried a gun?
Again, this is an FSOC hearing.
Yeah.
So,
but you're the Secretary of the Treasury.
Why do we talk about financial stability and oversight?
I'm happy to, Mr. Secretary, but your credibility is important. And in that response, you really, I think, you know, let down the country because we expect honesty after that kind of terrible tragedy. Let me ask you.
Folks, they're trying to gaslight the American people. These are the people that were literally trying to give awards out to those like Capitol Police who decided to violently go after unarmed individuals. Alex Pretty was armed, okay? That's the reality behind all of this. He was carrying, and yes, I get it. If he legally had that firearm, that's one thing. But folks, how many of you would run up to federal agents with a firearm and get involved in scruffles like that? I know I wouldn't with my firearm on. It just wouldn't make sense to be there to do that. And we're still waiting for more information to come out because, again, it doesn't look like DHS actually had the all of the details properly put out there. But we've got major, major issues in all of this. They have no problem going out there and talking a whole bunch of you-know-what when it comes to this. But when Ashley Babbitt was an unarmed woman just walking and getting an unauthorized tour of the U.S. Capitol, when she took a bullet to the throat, these were the same people that were trying to justify just that. So cut the crap. Cut the crap. So you don't get to sit there and play both sides of all of this. You don't sit there and get to pretend like that was justifiable. An unarmed woman walking around the U.S. Capitol, taxpayer, veteran. She didn't deserve to die. She didn't deserve to die. They justified their actions for someone who was unarmed. The shooting was absolutely reckless because law enforcement was coming up from behind her. And they protected Byrd, the individual who's responsible for killing Ashley Babbitt. So cut the crap. Cut the crap. Folks, it looks like the press conference might be beginning soon for the AG and Kash Patel. I think we've got it coming up right now in just a few moments. Fox News getting ready to run that. We'll have that up as soon as it starts just to make sure it's okay. But we're keeping our eye on it right now. I want to get something else, though. I don't know if you guys saw this announcement. This is a good one, though. The AG's office yesterday coming out. And this is the Texas AG's office, by the way. Ken Paxton yesterday announcing that he's actually suing to ban the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE from operating inside of Texas. Now, as many of you guys know, Texas has designated them both as terrorist organizations, which means they cannot operate within Texas. Now, thanks to the great reporting of Amy Meck over at the Rare Foundation, they've uncovered a lot of very questionable things that shows that they might actually be operating here in the U.S., here in Texas specifically, though, of course. And they are saying that they are not allowed to be doing that. So the AG's office is now suing. And it's interesting, too, because apparently, according to Amy Mack, CARE actually had an event in Austin called CARE Austin Day. Again, it sounds innocent, but it's not. Never is. They're also pushing in places like Harris County, Muslim American Heritage Month. So that's what's happening right now. The AG, Ken Paxton, being brave enough to go out there and fight back. Oh, and by the way, I actually posted it yesterday on X. I got first dibs on Ken Paxton's endorsement of good friend to the show. Obviously, I'm pulling it up now. But Ken Paxton did come out yesterday and he endorsed Aaron Wrights. Many of you guys know we've had Aaron Wrights on the show. He comes in studio quite often. He is a fighter, patriot. Yesterday, Ken Paxton, though, did drop a video. And it was very exciting to see endorsing and backing Aaron Wrights, which is important for us, which is very, very important for us. And if you're wondering why, well, it's because, first off, Aaron Wright's not a politician. So, you know, I really like the guy. He's worked Ken Paxton. I think Ken Paxton's the best AG that we have in the country. The best AG we have in the country. There's no one that goes anywhere near this guy. The fact that he took on all the Islamists first, didn't have to wait for the polls to come out, jumped in the fight. Something that Aaron Reitz wants to do. Aaron Reitz is not a politician, and that's the reason why it's so favorable to get this guy in there. Chip Roy obviously is running against him. I'm not a fan of Chip Roy personally. Just haven't been a fan of him. Several reasons. Number one, I deem a lot of the stuff that he does, in my opinion, to be kind of just theatrical. Holds a press conference and doesn't really do anything else after that. What do I mean by that? Well, before he was even doing anything on air producing, we would ask him to come on shows, his team, and he would just never go on shows. They wouldn't respond, but they wanted us to air his press conferences. To me, it was absolutely useless because I want to ask you questions. I don't want to go with a soft, cushy little presser. And so multiple times we reached out, never wanted to come on. I think, and I don't even disagree with him on a lot. I just think that he has not done enough. And I've heard him several times sit there and say, I'm the guy who wins elections. I think most Americans are done with politicians. I don't think we want to deal with politicians anymore. Folks, AG Pambani is popping out right now for that press conference that's happening at the DOJ right now. Let's take a listen.
Good morning. On September 11th, 2012, Americans watched horrified as our embassy in Benghazi came under a vicious terror attack. We lost four American lives that day. Ambassador Chris Stevens, Sean Smith with the State Department, and two CIA contractors, Glenn Doherty and Tyrone Woods. We have never forgotten those heroes, and we have never stopped seeking justice for that crime against our nation. In fact, from day one, Cash and Dan would sit in meetings and say, we're going to get them. And they did. Today, I'm proud to announce that the FBI has arrested one of the key participants behind the Benghazi attack. Zubair Al-Bakash landed at Andrews Air Force Base at 3 a.m. this morning. He is in our custody. He was greeted by Director Patel and U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro. Hillary Clinton famously once said about Benghazi, what difference at this point does it make? Well, it makes a difference to Donald Trump. It makes a difference to those families. And 14 years later, it makes a difference to law enforcement who made the difference in this case. Thank you, President Trump, for supporting all of our agencies around the country and around the world. Al-Bakash will now face American justice on American soil. We will prosecute this alleged terrorist to the fullest extent of the law. He'll face charges related to murder, terrorism, arson, among others. Let this case serve as a reminder. If you commit a crime against the American people anywhere in this world, President Trump's Justice Department will find you. It might not happen overnight, but it will happen. You can run, but you cannot hide. We are immensely grateful to our partners, especially at the State Department and the CIA, who lost lives in the Benghazi attack. Director Patel and the FBI agents did tireless work to track and arrest this man. I want to thank everyone standing behind me, all the agents who work so great with our lawyers, with our national security lawyers, and around the world to bring this terrorist to justice. And I have a statement to read from Director Radcliffe. He wanted to be here. He couldn't be here. He's busy protecting our world. He's deeply grateful for the relentless efforts of the Department of Justice and the FBI to bring justice to the individual allegedly responsible for the death of Americans in the horrific 2012 Benghazi attack. CIA and the nation will never forget the extraordinary services and sacrifices of Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty, who gave their lives in defense of others and exemplified the very best of our agency. I'd now like to turn it over to Director Patel for remarks, and I again want to thank him for his relentless work in this case.
General, thank you. And I want to steal one of your lines. Never forget. Pam never forgot. The president never forgot. This FBI never forgot. And certainly U.S. Attorney Pirro never forgot. When an act of terrorism of this magnitude strikes at the heart of our nation, we go to work. President Trump has given us the full resources, the interagency, to make sure we deliver justice. And Pam, you're right. Dan and I did sit down early on about this to bring justice. But you led the effort. You brought together the interagency. You said, we are going to get this done because no one agency alone can do it. So we are thankful to have an attorney general at the Department of Justice who works together with every single cabinet secretary and enforce the law. What you saw today, and I want to get, or what you're going to see today, I want to address it in a minute, but I want to remind the folks out there the work of this Department of Justice. We were here just a few short months ago talking about how we were going to raise the RFJ for another violent offender on the run, Ryan Wedding. And what did we do under Attorney General's leadership? And what do we do when President Trump said, go get the worst of the worst? We captured him. We captured together, under President Trump's leadership, six of the FBI's most wanted fugitives in one calendar year. To put that in perspective, that is two more than the entirety of the prior administration. And you cannot do that alone at the FBI. You have to have an attorney general and a Department of Justice willing to prosecute, willing to go to the four corners of the earth and make sure we deliver justice. And that's what we're doing here today. I was at the airfield with U.S. Attorney Pirro earlier this morning when we did the formal foreign transfer of custody of Bakush into U.S. custody to face prosecution under her auspices and her office. And the Department of Justice are going to execute justice for the fallen. As a young prosecutor at CTS in the National Security Division, I worked on the Benghazi case. This was very near and dear and personal to me. We lost four brave Americans in Chris, Sean, Kyle, and Steve. And we can never, ever, ever forget them. Ever. And we will not. In order to put something like this together, it doesn't happen overnight. The FBI's hostage rescue team, the FBI's critical incident response group, our special flight operations unit, and countless others, along with the agents in the New York field office who never forgot Benghazi and never let the world forget it, endured over a decade to bring yet another terrorist who killed four Americans to justice. That is a relentless pursuit of mission that can only happen when you have an interagency who's willing to get after it. I'm extremely thankful to the CIA and Director Ratcliffe and our other law enforcement partners for making
sure. We're going to hit the pause button on this for just a second because we're up against a hard commercial break. But obviously, this is a big story breaking right now. We'll get to it in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after The Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock. We'll be right back.